Unit 9. Etiquette we live by. Dining etiquette. 2. Dining manners.
Tom and Alice are talking about dining etiquette. Listen to their conversation and answer these questions.
I've heard that we have to pay a lot of attention to the do's and don'ts when dining in a Western restaurant.
Exactly. When you want to eat at a Western restaurant, you should make a reservation in advance.
If I don't, what will happen?
You risk having to wait for a long time.
Anything else?
When eating, the Japanese and some Chinese are in the habit of slurping their food. By doing so, they show their host how much they like the food.
So how do Westerners respond to this practice?
They find eating in this way most unpleasant. They also consider picking one's teeth and putting on makeup at table no-nos.
What about tipping?
When it comes to tipping, they just leave some money on the table. The amount is up to you, but it's usually 15 to 20% of the amount on the check.
Oh, I see. I've heard that we have to pay a lot of attention to the do's and don'ts when dining in a Western restaurant.
Exactly. When you want to eat at a Western restaurant, you should make a reservation in advance.
If I don't, what will happen?
You risk having to wait for a long time.
Anything else?
When eating, the Japanese and some Chinese are in the habit of slurping their food. By doing so, they show their host how much they like the food.
So how do Westerners respond to this practice?
They find eating in this way most unpleasant. They also consider picking one's teeth and putting on makeup at table no-nos.
What about tipping?
When it comes to tipping, they just leave some money on the table. The amount is up to you, but it's usually 15 to 20% of the amount on the check.
Oh, I see. 4. Etiquette for eating Western food. Read the passage and do the exercises that follow.
When men and women eat together, at home or outside, the men should pull out the chairs for the women and see that all the ladies are seated before taking their own places. After sitting down, pull your chair up and sit close to the table. In many Christian homes, it is a custom to say grace before the meal begins. Guests should watch the host or hostess and see if they bow their heads, then join them. As soon as the grace is finished, or if grace is not said, when the hostess takes her napkin, each person at the table opens their napkin too and lays it across their lap. At dinner, the table is usually set with spoons, knives, forks, plates, and glasses, although there may be small changes according to the circumstances. When you use the cutlery, begin from the outside pieces, then use the adjacent knife and fork for the second course, and so on. The pieces closest to the plate are for the main course. When eating soup, tip the bowl away from you and scoop the soup up with your spoon. When there is only a little soup left in the bowl, you may slightly raise the side close to you. Don't cut large pieces of food, such as steak or chops, into small pieces all at once. Cut only one or two bites as you eat. Some people find it difficult to cut meat. That is because they don't use their knives close to the forks. When you have finished eating, put the knife and fork diagonally on the outer edges of your plate. Don't place them leaning on the plate. Always place the knife with the sharp edge in. Americans and Europeans differ in their use of forks when eating. When Americans have finished cutting, they put the knife down, transfer the fork to the right hand, and eat. But Europeans keep their fork in the left hand and put food onto the fork. You are free to choose whichever you like, but the American way seems to be easier for people who are not accustomed to eating foreign food. They cannot put food on the fork skillfully enough and have to carry food to their mouth in a hurry so as not to lose it, so they often drop it.
5. Read me. Read the following poem and enjoy it.
Success is counted sweetest Emily Dickinson. Success is counted sweetest by those who never succeed. To comprehend a nectar requires sorest need. Not one of all the purple host who took the flag today can tell the definition so clear of victory. As he defeated, dying, on whose forbidden ear the distant strings of triumph burst agonized and clear.
Gift-giving customs. 2. Advice about gift-giving.
Andrew is talking with his Chinese colleague Li Fan to get some advice about gift-giving. Listen to their conversation. Then complete the table with the information you get from the conversation.
Hi, Li Fan. Can you help me?
What's the matter, Andrew?
My best Chinese friend Wang Yin has invited me to her new home to have a meal with her family. I want to buy her a gift, but I don't know what to buy.
No problem. Gift-giving customs vary greatly from country to country. What is considered appropriate in your country may be completely inappropriate in China.
I know. That's why I need your help.
In China, there aren't so many special guidelines in gift-giving, but there is something you should avoid.
Okay. Tell me more.
Be sure to avoid giving clocks as gifts. This has long been regarded as a gift-giving faux pas. The word for clock in Chinese sounds similar to the word for death.
But some of my friends say China's younger generation is not as superstitious about this.
Well, unless you're certain that your Chinese friend will not be offended by receiving a clock, it must be avoided.
I see. Is there anything else?
Yes. As white and black are associated with funerals, do not wrap gifts in these colors. Red, yellow, and pink are seen as joyful colors and are perfectly acceptable for gift wrapping. Also, remember not to write anything in red ink, as this symbolizes the breakup of a relationship.
I have decided to buy her a beautiful knife.
I don't think that's a good idea. Sharp objects such as knives or openers can imply the end of a relationship. Giving gifts in odd numbers implies loneliness or separation. On the other hand, gifts given in pairs are highly appropriate, as this means good luck.
Oh, thank you very much for your helpful advice.
Not at all.
Hi, Li Fang. Can you help me?
What's the matter, Andrew?
My best Chinese friend Wang Yin has invited me to her new home to have a meal with her family. I want to buy her a gift, but I don't know what to buy.
No problem. Gift-giving customs vary greatly from country to country. What is considered appropriate in your country may be completely inappropriate in China.
I know. That's why I need your help.
In China, there aren't so many special guidelines in gift-giving, but there is something you should avoid.
Okay. Tell me more.
Be sure to avoid giving clocks as gifts. This has long been regarded as a gift-giving faux pas. The word for clock in Chinese sounds similar to the word for death.
But some of my friends say China's younger generation is not as superstitious about this.
Well, unless you're certain that your Chinese friend will not be offended by receiving a clock, it must be avoided.
I see. Is there anything else?
Yes. As white and black are associated with funerals, do not wrap gifts in these colors. Red, yellow, and pink are seen as joyful colors and are perfectly acceptable for gift wrapping. Also, remember not to write anything in red ink, as this symbolizes the breakup of a relationship.
I have decided to buy her a beautiful knife.
I don't think that's a good idea. Sharp objects such as knives or openers can imply the end of a relationship. Giving gifts in odd numbers implies loneliness or separation. On the other hand, gifts given in pairs are highly appropriate, as this means good luck.
Oh, thank you very much for your helpful advice.
Not at all.
4. Thoughts that really count.
Read the passage and do the exercises.
In some countries, a bottle of wine is a required gift for a dinner party. But depending on the sort of party and the country, it could insult the host. If you attend a formal dinner in France, for example, wine would be an awkward gift. The host might feel obligated to serve the bottle with dinner, even if he has already chosen a wine well suited to the meal. Fine whiskey or brandy can be an appropriate gift for colleagues, but never give alcohol to observant Muslims. They do not drink. We all know red roses signified love, but floral protocol does not end there. When giving flowers abroad, there are a few points to watch out for. In Europe, red carnations are bad. Also, avoid varieties traditionally used to decorate graves. Chrysanthemums, calla lilies, white asters and dahlias. In some countries, particularly in Central America where flowers are inexpensive, they are not considered a good gift. If you choose to give flowers in Central America, white flowers are the safest. Red flowers are associated with evil spirits, yellow ones with death, and marigolds are used to decorate graves. Yet another aspect of gift-giving protocol is timing. When conducting business in Europe, it is better not to give a gift until after an agreement has been signed. In Japan and other Asian countries, gifts are given at the end of a meeting. In Asia, gifts are not usually opened in the presence of the giver, while in Europe and North and South America, they probably will be. People are the best resources for learning gift-giving customs. If you live abroad, ask your friends and neighbors for advice. If you do not live abroad, talk to people who have lived in your destination country or consult books about local customs.
Vocabulary. New words.
Accidentally.
Sneeze.
Reservation.
Advance.
Slope.
Tableware.
Christian.
Circumstance.
Cutlery.
Adjacent.
Scoop.
Diagonally.
Accustomed.
Skillfully.
Hidden.
Handmade.
Cowhide.
Uruguayan.
Odd.
Chrysanthemum.
Delegation.
Delegate.
Pigskin.
Guideline.
Faux pas.
Superstitious.
Funeral.
Joyful.
Breakup.
Opener.
Imply.
Loneliness.
Separation.
Obligated.
Brandy.
Alcohol.
Observant.
Floral.
Protocol.
Carnation.
Decorate.
Calla lily.
Aster.
Dahlia.
Marigold.
Timing.
Proper nouns.
Spaniard.
Mexican.
The Quran.
Muslim.